Thanks again for joining us here on Real Golf Radio, looking back at the Players Championship and what an event it was. And the man that was on site for the entire week for Golf Channel and golfchannel.com is our good friend Rex Hoggard joining us right now. Rex, how's it going, man?
Great. It's a good week at the Players Championship and got a couple of days off before we start up again. It was perfect.
Yeah. So it felt like there was this rhetoric going around the last few weeks about, you know, with the splintering of the top players, that you weren't seeing maybe the same excitement at the top of the game, and that we're having a bunch of first time winners and not seeing the names that everybody expects to be winning golf tournaments. And then suddenly Scottie Scheffler goes back to back at Arnold's event, and then again at the Players, and all of the excitement and the drama that unfolded, it just felt like it was one of those tournaments that maybe we sort of needed, gave us a little shot in the arm. It was kind of the edge of your seat viewing that I think a lot of golf fans have missed lately. What was your take being right there up close?
No, I agree with it. I mean, you go back to the West Coast, and we all know you had terrible weather. Probably leaderboards, especially at the signature event, that didn't live up to the hype, to be quite honest with you. Nothing against Wyndham Clark winning at Pebble Beach, but we had a 54-hole event because of weather and didn't play on Sunday and just nasty conditions. So it just wasn't living up to, I'm sure, what the tour was hopeful for. And I think you got back-to-back weeks. You pointed out Bay Hill. Now, I was a little bit subdued, I think, just because Scotty won by 5 strokes, so there wasn't a whole lot of drama there. But certainly when you look at everything that went into the Players' Championship on an iconic venue, you had five of the top 10 players essentially going head-to-head within the top 10 on Sunday. And I think that's all you can really ask for, including Scottie Scheffler. You had Xander Schauffele playing well. Wyndham Clark was right there in it. Brian Harman, Louis Aubert. Like, it was just exactly what the tour needed. It was a shot in the arm. And the fact that it came down to the 72nd hole, that's as good as golf gets. That's as good as the PGA Tour gets right now. And I think it was badly needed.
Yeah, that lip out on the final hole, that was kind of crazy to see that happen, and especially with the pace that the ball was rolling and that kind of thing. But, you know, what's interesting to me is the ratings the last couple of weeks and the ratings all year have been down with golf. And do you feel that's mostly because of the fracturing and golf fans are getting a little kind of put off about everything? But do you think it will bring back some of those golf fans basically from what we saw last week as well?
I think there is some fatigue among the fans. And look, Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, addressed this last week at the Players' Championship when he spoke with the media. This is going to be a tough hurdle for the PGA Tour. It's going to have to be something they embrace, because you can say all of the things that have to happen going forward for the game to be reunited, and I do think the game needs to be reunited, and whatever that looks like, I don't pretend to be smart enough to figure that out. But probably the biggest hurdle, once all of those things are set in place, is winning back the fans. Because for the last 2 years, golf, professional golf, has been about nothing but how much money is this guy getting paid, and signature events, and mergers, and multi-billion dollar deals, and I just think there was a tipping point for a lot of the fans that they had heard enough. And when you have an event like we had last week at the Players' Championship, where everything seemed to fall into place, that, yeah, you are going to pay attention to what the fans have to say. And I will give the tour credit. I think they're going to try to understand the issue.
Rex Hoggard joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Scottie Scheffler kind of comes off as an aw shucks. I'm just out here playing golf. It's not that important. It's, you know, I have other things that are more important to me. But he is doing things between the ropes that you start to compare a little bit to some of the greats, you know. Not that, and he did a good job deflecting the Tiger Woods comparisons. Nevertheless, he went out there on the final day, got it going early, posted a number, and the rest of the guys took notice and couldn't quite, you know, come back to what he had posted. What's your take on Scottie Scheffler as his role as the number one player in the world right now and the way he's playing?
It was very Tiger-esque, and I hate doing that. I mean, I'm like you guys. I just don't like comparing anyone to Tiger because I don't think it's a fair comparison. You're talking about a generational player, but he actually did something Tiger Woods has never even done. Jack Nicklaus hasn't done it. Won back-to-back at the Players' Championship, and it's really hard to do that at that course. I actually wrote about this early last week, trying to figure out exactly why. I think there's a lot of it that goes into the idea that that golf course doesn't really fit one style of play. So if you're John Rahm and you show up at the Masters, or you're Scottie Scheffler and you show up at the Masters, you've kind of proven, you've seen that this golf course fits your game. That doesn't necessarily hold true year in and year out at the Players' Championship. But you look at what he did, so went back-to-back at Bay Hill, where Tiger has been dominant, at the Players, where Tiger has won multiple times. And, yeah, I think that is a fair comparison. And then you factor in, he kind of did make it look easy when you consider that he clearly didn't have his best stuff, that he was dealing with an injury, whatever level you want to ascribe to that. Now, clearly on Friday, when he initially hurt his neck, it was probably close to an 8 out of 10. By the time we got to Sunday, I think he just missed it, and it was probably closer to a 4 or a 5 out of 10. Whatever number you want to put on it, it's still pretty impressive when you consider talking with Ted Scott, his caddy, where he was shocked that he was even able to finish. On Friday, he said he didn't think he was going to be able to finish the tournament. He said, when you point out that he said how much pain he was in when he was just trying to hit chip shots. Forget about hitting a driver or an 8-iron from the fairway. Just hitting chip shots hurt. So you factor all those things in, and again, I hate to do it, and I don't do this lightly, but it was Tiger-esque.
You know, the interesting thing is that we've always known Scottie Scheffler as a ball striker, a guy that from tee to green is absolutely on a different level compared to everybody else. And it showed again this last week in, points gained off of the tee or between tee to green. But he's figuring out, and he's figured out, 2 for 2 with that mallet putter. He's still hitting some putts that he kind of scratches his head about, but I'll tell you what, he's making a lot more putts right now. And that just, I think, propels him closer to where he wants to be going into Augusta.
And I think we've all come to agree that the idea, he doesn't have to putt great. He doesn't have to do what he did Sunday at Bay Hill, where I think he was first in field, picked up 4.5 strokes on the green in strokes gained putting. He doesn't have to do that. If he just putts average, and that's pretty much what he did at TPC Sawgrass. He was a little bit above average, but he wasn't giving away strokes. He's going to win more times than not. You look at what he did last year, and I'm talking about Postmasters. Like after he had gone on his run and won for the multiple times and won the major championship, you look at what he did after the Masters, and he did it kind of ho-hum, but I think he finished outside the top 10 just once the rest of the season. And that had everything to do with the fact that he's such a good ball striker, so much better than everyone else, and he struggled so much. You can look at it. It's quantifiable. And again, whenever you say this, I think it's important to point out, he struggled. He wasn't a good putter relative to the rest of the PGA Tour. That's quantifiable. And when you see the turnaround, when you see what he can do when he's just average, it's got to be intimidating.
Rex Hager joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Let's talk about some of those runners-up. You look at Harmon and Clark are both current major championship holders, and they both got themselves in the mix. What does it say about those two players that I think surprised a lot of people last year by winning major championships to still be playing at that level? I don't mean to even say it that way. That kind of leads into my question. That's the leading part of my question. But what does it say about these players that they are playing on such a high level at this point and relatively under the radar?
It was funny. Early Sunday, I was just kind of taking some notes based on what I thought would happen. And at that point, I thought it was win of tournament to lose. Because, you know, he kind of had to play. If he shoots anything in the 60s, 68, 69, that means that Scottie's got to shoot something around 62. And that's really, really hard on that golf course. And when I start looking back at the last 12 months for Wyndham Clark, there's no reason he's not a superstar. He has Hollywood good looks. He has just a made-in-Hollywood origins story. And he's done it in the biggest events, really, since he started winning last year. Wells Fargo was a signature event last year, and then he wins the U.S. Open in Los Angeles, which is perfect. He wins the signature event at Pebble Beach this year, and then he caps that with the Players' Championship. He's easy to kind of overlook because he's done it so quickly, and he's ascended sort of that wall so quickly. But when we talk about capturing the fan imagination and creating stars, I think the line that Jay Monahan, the commissioner, used last week that he attributed to Jason Gore was, the PGA Tour can create a star in 3 weeks. I would say that you have created a star essentially in 3 weeks with Wyndham Clark. And I was a little surprised that he didn't get it done, but the fire burns bright. And I think for him specifically, I would not be surprised if he puts himself right back into contention at the Masters.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Hey, the big story also coming off of the Players was the commissioner addressing the media and the fans, and then the announcement that there was a meeting in the Bahamas between the player directors and Yasser with the PIF fund. This is obviously a huge story that has dominated this game for a few years now. What's your sense of what might have taken place, or have you heard anything about what may have, if anything, gotten accomplished in this meeting?
I don't know what got accomplished as far as, you know, ticking things off a checklist. I think the biggest deal is what Adam Scott told us last week. He was one of those six player directors who flew to the Bahamas and met with the governor of the public investment fund. He said, essentially, it was just to put a name to a face. And I asked Rory on Sunday. Rory had met Yasir Al-Rumayyan at the end of 2022. And I asked Rory, what do you hope the message is that the players get from him? And he said, just to understand what the PIF wants to do in the game of golf. He also sort of made an interesting take as well that he feels like LIV Golf and specifically Greg Norman have kind of misrepresented what the PIF wants to do in golf, that they want to be part of the ecosystem. They don't want to take over the ecosystem. So my guess is it was a lot of conversations along those lines, that the player directors really needed to know face-to-face what he hopes to accomplish. And it was a good first step. And I have to be careful saying that because I said it on air and kind of got beat up a little bit on social media. This has nothing to do with whether you think the PGA Tour should be in business with public investment in Saudi Arabia. That's an entirely different question. And I understand it from both sides and everyone is welcome to their opinion. I think we're at the point now where you're sort of resigned to the fact that there will be some sort of deal between the Tour and the PIF. Right now, it's just a matter of what that deal will look like. And this, in that context, as far as just essentially just business, it was a good step because if they feel like it's time to bring the player directors in, we can all agree the player directors aren't the ones that are negotiating this deal. That would make no sense. They're not staring at spreadsheets and haggling over billions of dollars. They'll just make the final vote. And if Jay Monahan and the rest of the leadership at the Tour felt like now was the time to have them meet, I think that is an indication that the negotiations are a little bit further along than we probably thought.
So it's kind of interesting where, you know, we're having these meetings and that kind of thing. How soon can this happen? I mean, you know, there's a lot being said, you know, it's not going to happen for another 2 or 3 years. You know, it's going to take a year for the DOJ to approve stuff. Realistically, how soon could something happen between PIF and the PGA Tour Enterprises to be able to put something together?
I mean, if both sides were motivated, I would think that they could come up with something starting next year. I think this year is pretty much the ship has sailed on that one. I think we're both products far enough down the line. I'm talking about LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. But if both sides are motivated and want something to happen, then yeah, I don't think next year is out of the question. There's a lot of contracts that probably have to get renegotiated. There's a lot of venues that probably have to get changed. And there's a lot of thinking behind closed doors because, again, we have no idea what a potential deal between those two sides, and it would also include the DP World Tour, would look like. I mean, Rory has kind of speculated on a global tour. He addressed it again on Sunday and said, because where we are right now is, how does team golf fit with individual golf? And Rory's take was, it would be on the quote-unquote periphery, which I would imagine could mean LIV does their team events in January, February, and October, November, December, and everything else in between is PGA Tour golf, major champions, individual golf that we know it, as we've always known it. But you really never know. Like, that's one of the big complicated things that will certainly make the negotiations difficult. The other half is how will the players who join LIV Golf be allowed to come back, if at all, to the PGA Tour? So there's a lot of complicated things that have to happen between now and then. But like I said, if both sides decide that this is best for golf and let's make this happen, there's a lot of money and a lot of important people in that room. They'll make it happen.
It's March Madness. That means the Masters is just around the corner. How excited are you for the next major championship?
I listened to Jon Rahm's Masters preview interview. It was a Zoom press conference interview and got really excited. Like, it doesn't really sink in until you get the parking pass mailed to you and everything sort of starts heading. Start thinking about the first year's first major championship. And it's funny. I mean, given what we just got through talking about, we won't have this conversation anymore. And I think last year, to a certain degree, normalized the major championships that, okay, there will be the PGA Tour players and the LIV players, the best players in the game, competing. And I think it's only made the majors that much better. Like, we're all going to be excited to see Jon Rahm left. He was the second best player in the world. My guess is he's still going to play like the second best player in the world. So I think it gives us all something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you can hear that, but that is my parking pass right there, as you said. That does get you excited. So.
And our print-off credential, too.
Rex, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for taking some time. Really appreciate the insights, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
See you guys at the Masters.
There you go. Rex Hoggart.